Yeah. Thank you, Kathy. Would you please rise in body or spirit as you're able to join me in the call to worship? Come sing a new song to God.
Remember all the times full of wonder God has already saved us.
Plug in the keyboard. Tune up those guitars. Try out the drums. Open the windows, listen to the choirs outdoors, feathered and furred.
Let the hills sing together for joy.
For God is not done doing wonders.
God is coming to set everything right. Sing a new song to God.
Please remain standing as we sing number 449, My Lord, What a Morning.
Just a real quick reminder of how to find your way through this song. We start at the very top, which is the refrain. Down at the middle section, you see where it says, you will hear the trumpet sound. That is the first verse. When we get all the way down to the bottom, where it says DC, that means da capo, go back to the beginning. And we will do that for all three verses, and then we end on the refrain again.
Please remain standing as we confess who we are. When we speak the truth about ourselves to God, God listens and prays for us to find new life in Christ. Let us now speak of our sins to the one who created us in love. O God, still creating, we expect things to go on the same as they always have, from bad to worse.
The past will keep us guilty. The future makes us free. And the present will burden us with too little time and too much to do.
Forgive our lack of faith, our quickness to believe that you do not hear us, and our pessimism about tomorrow. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. May the God of mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
The burden of our brokenness has been lifted from our shoulder. Now we can feel the lightness of peace. May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Please share the joy of this peace with those around you with a wave or a nod. Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth and faith and love, and strengthen to follow the path you set before us. Through Jesus Christ, amen. I will read this morning from the 12th chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 through 6. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. For though you were angry with me, your anger turned away and you comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the nations. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let us be known. Let this be known all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel.
Olivia, you want to come up for the children's room? Grant, you want to come up?
And thank you to the choir for that musical offering this morning. And as we turn our attention to the scriptures once again, our second lesson is also from Isaiah. And this is Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 through 25. Listen for the word of God to us through the prophet Isaiah. For I am about to create a new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cries of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a full lifetime. One who dies at 100 will be considered a mere youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build another and another inhabit it. They shall not plant and another eat it. For like the days of a tree, the days of my people will be. My chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. They shall be offspring blessed by God, their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer them. While they are yet speaking to me, I will respond. The wolf and the lamb will eat together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. And they shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Here ends the reading from Isaiah chapter 65. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, as we reflect on the words of the prophet this morning, we ask you to work in us with understanding and with the excitement of our imagination, with our will, with our minds, and with our hearts, that we might hear your words and be encouraged by them and put them to practice in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So on most of the Sundays when I preach somewhere, I usually choose the traditional combination of an Old Testament lesson like a psalm and then the gospel lesson. But today I decided to use both of the listed readings on the prophet Isaiah. And I think we were read the chapter 12 at first, and now we hear chapter 65 of Isaiah, and they're very similar. They're both very hopeful passages in the prophet. And, you know, prophets kind of go between two extremes. They're either judging people and telling you what's going to happen to you if you don't follow what God has called you to do or asked you to do. And then on the other hand, there's all these promises of hope and joy and power if you do follow the promises of God. So these are both from the prophet Isaiah. Chapter 12 is back at the beginning of the book of Isaiah, and chapter 65 is at the end. So we kind of have bookends here from the book of Isaiah this morning. And scholarly opinions are kind of all over the map as to who wrote which parts of Isaiah. They are all in the tradition of the prophet Isaiah. They all reflect the words and the theology of Isaiah. These are the words of God to us through the prophecies of Isaiah. So the words we have to consider today from Isaiah, I'm going to probably hone in mostly on chapter 65. They are not the judgmental kind of words that we hear so often in the prophets when they have long lists of
what's going to happen to all these countries if they don't follow the ways of God. These are the kinds of words from the prophet that nourish us and strengthen us when we hear them. Words of promise. I would even say they are words of wild promise to us. A place that has been purged of violence, sin, and death. A place where even the animals get along with each other. An earth where the animals live in harmony with each other, where there isn't a food chain, as we call it, that we know as part of our world. And it actually reflects a description of the creation in Genesis chapter 1, verse 30, where it says that all the animals that God has created will feed on the green plants of the earth. It's always been kind of a mysterious verse, but here it is reflected again in the prophecy of Isaiah that the animals will not eat each other, but they will be vegetarian, so to speak. It's mysterious. It's a little bit inaccessible to us because our way of life is not like that at all. And we're used to animals eating each other. And, you know, we like a good steak ourselves once in a while. So we're carnivore omnivores as well. And this might not surprise some of you who have a background in farming experience, but this past week I discovered that my chickens eat mice. I did not know that before. But they're young chickens. I mean, I've had chickens many times, but this is a new batch. It's a new breed. And they're great, big, muscular. They're the most athletic chickens I've ever had. They jump up on the fence. They fly places. They come back. I've given up worrying about them because they seem to be holding their own pretty well. But this past week, I saw one of them running around with a little field mouse in her beak, and then she ate it. And I noted to my husband, and he said, "Wow, I hope they get to the molehills next." And you know what? They did. They started, I guess they thought, "Ooh, that tastes good." And they started digging up the moles in the backyard, piling them up. So my husband said, "I think I like chickens better than I used to." So we kind of take that food chain for granted, and we participate in it ourselves. But this passage from Isaiah is clearly about a time and a place that's wildly different than our experience of the food chain and chickens eating mice and us eating steaks. The prophet says there's a world where lions eat grass, where the ox, the fox, and the lamb are lying down, and the lamb are lying down with the lion and taking a nap. Where humans are healthy and strong for long lives, where health is a given. It's a place of safety, where you don't have to worry about something calamitous happening to you. And it is God's holy mountain, and it's also God's temple. And this is an image that pops up in all of the prophets and goes way back in the history of the people of Israel, and also travels forward in time to us right now, because here we are sitting in essentially a temple, a place that has been built for the people of God, where we can hear the word of God. It's an actual physical place. The church is patterned on the old temples of the Old Testament. We often call the church the house of God, a holy place. It's a phrase from the ancient temples of the Jews, who also believed that the temple was the dwelling place of God. And indeed, when we build a church, we have a service of dedication where we dedicate this physical space to the usage of the people of God in worship and in certain things. You don't come in here and have a basketball game in this room. This room is set aside for a particular purpose. It's sanctified. It's holy. It's a place of meeting your God in person, so to speak. So the temple in the prophets, in this time where Isaiah is writing, the temple would have been understood by the people of Israel as a place where God dwells on earth. And let's take that just one step further and think about the words of Paul. Paul said, you are the temple of God. Your body is the temple of God. And we're going to reflect on all of these holy places and holy usages of actual earth made godly as we look at this passage from Isaiah. We walk around this world with Christ in our hearts, and we are the hands and feet of Jesus, the extension of God's kingdom. Turns out we too are a holy place where God dwells. So all this is to say, when we hear Isaiah talk about God creating a new heavens and a new earth, we believe as Christians that we are already carrying that new earth, that new creation around in ourselves, the heavenly kingdom within us, in these real bodies on earth. And like many prophetic passages, I think it's helpful to look at the verbs here. And if you had English class, you know that verbs are what? Action words, right? Verbs are action words. And most of the verbs in these passages from Isaiah are in the future tense, but they're packed with action. And they bring that action into the present, too, because we start the future in the now. And in the beginning of the reading from Isaiah 65, verse 17 is a proclamation. It says, God will create a new heaven and a new earth. And then it's followed by a description of what life in that new place will be like. And it brings to mind a phrase that we know pretty well in English, a do-over. All of us wish at some time or another that we could do something over again, that we could have a second chance at something, like repair a wrong that we have done, or maybe repair a relationship that's gone wrong, or maybe a chance to right a wrong that someone else has done to us by forgiving them, or maybe a chance to revisit an opportunity that we totally missed the first time and grab it this time. And so when we read these verses in Isaiah that God's going to do it all over again, make a new heaven and a new earth, something inside of us grabs a hold of that and says, oh, yeah, that would be great to have another chance to do it again. But on the other hand, part of human life is knowing that we can't live it over again. We can make reparations. We can apologize for something we did that we're not proud of. We can forgive something that hurt us, but we can't erase it. We can't go back and live it again and redo it. But this prophetic passage, and this is far from the only one that promises this, this passage is where God promises a new heaven, a new earth, and big changes in that new earth, a do-over of earth itself. Here's a promise full of hope, with God telling us that God is saving and redeeming and transforming lives. It's a promise of love. It's a promise of holy ground, sacred space, space set aside for the presence of God, a safe space, a place where we are at home. And that's the image that we get from Isaiah here, too. The animals that I just talked about, they're in a safe place. They don't have to worry about some other animal eating them. And we are safe in that place, safe from, saved from sin, evil, and death. And so this vision from Isaiah, and it's really in both chapters, chapter 12 and chapter 65, it's a vision of a new place. But we recognize it. At least I'm going to proclaim to you, I'm going to suggest to you that we recognize this place. Because inside of us, we know that there is a better way to live than the way that we live in this earth. We know that we have done wrong. We know that we have been wronged. We know that there is evil and violence in this place. And we know inside of ourselves that there is something better to be had. And that brings back that discussion about temple again, I think. The temple has long been understood as the place where you go to be safe, to be in a sacred space, to be on holy ground. Even outside of ancient Israel, we're told that the ancient peoples believed that the temples of their gods were places set aside that had a power all their own. They had a positive effect on those who entered, but also a positive effect on all those who were affected by those who worshiped at the temple. And I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that we see our churches that way, our sacred places, our safe place where we go to worship, pray, reflect, be apart from the world for a little while, where we seek God's presence, where we experience the healing and saving power of the words of God in this place, where we experience the healing power of our friendships and fellowship with one another. And we learn from God's words in this place. This is a place of learning as well. And then we find that there's other sacred spaces in our lives, places where we pause for a moment and we are visited by this hope of the new heavens and the new earth, which is walking around inside of us, I'm going to suggest to you. One of the sacred spaces, quite frankly, that I visit often, maybe you don't know this, maybe you'll see me here now that I say this, is your labyrinth outside your church. And by the way, thank you for that. It's a place that draws me into prayer and reflection on my life and into gratitude, finally, as I exit the labyrinth and get back into my car and wonder what time it is and try to get home before I miss something. It's a place that makes me grateful for the life that I have. I also have a sacred space in my house, and I'm sure many of you have the same kind of thing someplace in your home or somewhere else, a place where I have a chair and a corner where I begin each day with prayer and quiet, because I'm one of those people that wakes up at 5 o'clock in the morning, whether I want to or not. So I start it in a quiet place, and that's a good start to the day. But there's other places where we find that we are in a holy space, a walk outside in nature, a conversation with a loved one or a friend, in a worship service, as we sing, as we pray, as we reflect on the words of God, or maybe a quiet place where you sit and you are available to the Spirit of God. So the metaphor of the church, of the temple, is a place where you connect with God, a piece of heaven, a safe place where God can be made known to us. And these words of prophecy about God creating a new heaven and a new earth point to an obvious piece of good news, but this is how God intends for us to live. This is God's will for us, to have this place of connection between ourselves and God, to walk around with it inside of ourselves so that it affects and connects to everyone we meet day by day. So to speak, we are wired for reception to the holy. That's the way God made us. When we read these words about a world where there is no illness, no hatred or violence or war, where everyone is healthy and safe and always in harmony and in God's presence, I think we recognize that place at some level within ourselves, within our minds and hearts. We feel a surge of hope when we hear these words about the new creation and promises about everything becoming new. So let's go back one more time to the words of Paul and kind of give this message to us some feet today, where the rubber hits the road here, and remember that we are the temple of God in our human bodies. We too, like a temple or a church, provide a place of connection to God everywhere we go, because we are connected to God as believers in Christ. And we ourselves partake in God's healing presence when we make that holy space an intentional part of our lives every day, everywhere we go. In the practice of the teachings of our Lord Jesus, like our children's sermon this morning, do unto others as you would have them do to you. We practice those things in our daily lives, in worship, in fellowship with one another. Far from being an inaccessible promise of a someday that we can barely imagine, we are part of that new creation already. The future begins with our now. Paul said, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Behold, the past is finished and gone. Everything has become new. So the new heavens and the new earth that are promised in these ethereal verses in the prophet Isaiah are already at work inside of us, in us, transforming us, and reaching out to the world around us. God's promise of a new heaven and a new earth starts with you and I. God is recreating us every day, always creating holy ground and more holy ground in our midst, working in us and through us to create sacred space in this world, to be the temple of God as we walk through this world, and to retreat as often as we need to the temple of God here on earth, in the church, around the labyrinth, in your chair, in a corner, in a conversation, in prayer. Jesus taught us to pray, may the kingdom of God be here on earth as it is in heaven. That's in the Lord's Prayer. And we are called to live that prayer in our lives every day. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for these words from the prophet Isaiah. We ask you, Lord, to help us to understand them and let them sink deep into us, that we might have a better and better understanding every day of how we carry you with us and offer that same sacred space that you give us to all the world around us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and join me in singing hymn number 483, Sing Praise to God Who Reigns Above.
remain standing as we will now affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed found on page 14 of our hymnals. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth in the right hand God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. As we come to a time of prayer this morning, I don't know if there's a prayer list anywhere, but I'm going to ask you if you have any particular prayer requests that we can add to the list this morning. Any names or situations to put on your list today?
Keep the BBs.
Dan and Chris BB. BBs. Okay, thank you. And I'll ask you to keep my brother-in-law, Rob, in your prayers as he undergoes a knee replacement this week. Anything else? Let's pray together. Lord, we turn to you with joy and thanksgiving. We lift up those who are ill or grieving and ask for your healing hand to be upon them. We especially lift up the Beebes and also Rob, asking for your protection and healing power and your presence to be made known in their midst. And in the lives and situations of those that we lift to you in silence at this time who need your healing touch or comfort in time of grief. Lord, we ask that you might especially be with those in our world who are hungry or oppressed. We lift up those who are in prison, both in our country and around the world, those who are in danger, whether from war or oppression or discrimination or situations beyond their control. We lift up to you the leaders of our communities and our country, asking for your guidance and wisdom, your hand of peace, compassion, and mercy. We ask, Lord, for your peace to be at work in our relationships, in our homes, with one another in church and among our friendships, in our workplaces. We ask you, Lord, to keep us aware of the needs of those around us and give us hearts of discernment and compassion and love as we seek to be present to one another and be present to your words and your call to us daily to serve you. We especially ask, Lord, that you might lead us in your peace, make us peacemakers in your truth. Teach us to love others the way you love us. Teach us to have mercy upon others and exercise the gift of forgiveness and compassion. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us how to live day to day, who gave us the example of living in love, who went to the cross for our sakes, who died and rose again in glory. You are our Lord and our Savior, and we pray together the prayer that you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and join me in singing hymn number 379, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, also known as Solid Rock.
Jesus' name.
now go forth into the world filled with God's goodness and love. And may God's love and hope gladden your hearts and guide you and your steps always. Amen.
Serve, I will serve you.